Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to take a look again today at another section from the beloved apostle, St. John's letter, his first letter, which is so rich and powerful and life-transforming, so good. I want to encourage you to take up the Word of God when you can, maybe this weekend, get a little bit of time together. Go to a chapel, someplace where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, where you know it'll be quiet and the gaze of the Lord will be upon you, and just take up the Word of God and read through John's first letter. It's just five chapters long, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you lay hold of the truth that our brother John was living in. He wrote this under the inspiration, obviously, the Holy Spirit. But what the Spirit desired is what John desired. And what John desired is what the Spirit desired, because John was living in the Spirit. John was living in the grace, the apostolic grace that he had, and he spoke from a life experience. He wasn't just passing on a set of philosophical principles or, you know, spiritual ideas. He was speaking out of the reality of his lived experience with the brothers, with the community, with Our Lady and the others, the reality of what Jesus promised and taught. He knew that firsthand, but he was also living in it and experiencing how the promises of Jesus and how the teaching of Jesus, what he said would happen, was unfolding in his life. And then under the inspiration of the Spirit, he wrote something for you and for me and for every person who takes up this word. It's God himself speaking to you. People say to me sometimes, you know, I never really hear God. And it's true that in the mystery of God's plan, some people seem to have an easier time hearing the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. Some people even heard the audible voice of God. I never have, but I know that that's happened in history. And God works differently with different people. But there is so much God wants to say to us directly through his word. One of the reasons why people, some people anyway, say, I don't ever hear God's word, or God doesn't speak to me. Maybe that's the point I'm trying to say, that many times they're not in the word of God. They're not reading the word of God. If you build the habit of taking up the word of God on a daily basis, even a few minutes a day, and you learn to quiet yourself and to hear God and to allow the Holy Spirit to put that word in your heart, you will learn. You will hear, and you'll know it's his voice, and you'll know it's personal, and he's going to change you through it. He's going to show you that this word is living and active. It's not a dead letter on a page. It's a living God speaking to a living soul, a living spirit, you, your mind, your will. Take it up, and the Lord will take you deeper and deeper into his life, because that's your destiny. He's going to give you the whole kingdom. He's not going to hold back. He's not going to hold back anything from you. He's already given it all. He's given his son. And the Son is bringing us home to the Father. So the last reading of the week here from 1 John is a beautiful reading. Chapter 5, verse 5 and following says, "Beloved, who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" What is John talking about? Victor over the world. Well, he's talking about the dimension of this world, of God's good creation, that's fallen and that resists the will of God and is set against you. And all of us, to some degree, are trapped in the world. The world, it's a power. It's social, volitional, economic, political, emotional forces in the world that resist God and resist acknowledging the reign of God and resist acknowledging that even God exists, that refuses to give him thanks, refuses to see the hand of God in natural law and the order of God's creation, and willfully is setting up a whole social order that's inconsistent with God's plan and purpose. That dimension of the world we live in, it will be here until the king comes again. There have been times in history when it's been subdued by Christian people and leaders who have lived out of the will of God in their heart. Not imposing, I don't mean imposing religious belief on everybody, but ordering the culture to live with respect for God and the things of God. That's happened in our own history, in this country. It's now being contested. And there's all kinds of forces aggressively. The kings of the earth, as I've mentioned on the program before, are setting themselves against the Lord and his anointed in this hour. There's all kinds of crazy things that people in power, leaders, are being seduced into believing as good for people. The deconstruction of family, the capacity to be able to take the life of a child right up to its first breath, defending the right for pornography to be seen everywhere by almost everyone. There's just so many things, financial corruptions and you name it. It could go on and on, but that's the world. That's what's meant by the world. And ultimately what behind it is the devil manipulating the world. And what he's after is your destruction. He wants to enslave you to it so that you won't respond to God, that you'll be crippled and he'll draw you into habit patterns of sin. He'll exalt your pride. He'll give you whatever you need to be able to keep yourself at the center and not God at the center, to walk in hubris and pride and seeking honor and power and pleasure. So John is saying, okay, who wins the victory over that power? He said, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Just believing is what gives you victory? Well, it depends what you mean by belief. You know that to believe is not only to acknowledge the fact that Jesus is God's Son, that he's the only Savior of the world, that he died on a cross for the salvation of the world, that he's come to give the life of God. All that is true. It's really important. You assent to that. That's part of belief. But then the deeper reality where the victory really comes from is radically entrusting our lives to him, to put him at the center, to seek to please him, as John's been speaking to us all week, to obey the commandments, to find in them an expression of God's love, and to lay hold of them and live them and communicate them to others. It's to be a nomad of faith like Abraham was, right? To bet everything on the Lord, not one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, but to go all in with Jesus, right? Time, talent, treasure, love, passion, all that. That's what it means. And for that person who believes in Jesus in that way, you will have victory over the world and the world's attempt to bring you into submission to the will of your enemy. John goes on, this is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood. This is interesting. It's different commentaries mention here what might be obvious, but what is being pointed out here is Jesus came and his mission began in the baptism he received from John the Baptist in the River Jordan. Jesus came forth from that and his whole commission in the Father and his mission was engaged. It began with water, right? He was baptized. And now it's a sign of what was to happen. And what happened when he came out of the waters of baptism? There was a theophany, a revelation of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. The Holy Spirit was present in the form of a dove, and the voice of God the Father was audibly heard. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He did it at other times too and said, listen to him. He's the sent one. He's my Son. Follow him. So we came out of the waters of baptism too, right? And the Father spoke over us. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter. And when you came out, even as an infant, the mission begins. You're commissioned. You're anointed. The life of God is on you. So water and blood, and of course, the blood is referring to Jesus' death on a cross, the shedding of his blood for the salvation of the world. He came to put away sin. He became to disarm the principalities and powers, to destroy the dominion of the devil over human hearts. Water and blood. John goes on, the Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. It's interesting. This is why I've been talking all week about the role of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's mission in your life. Jesus said he would send an advocate, he would send the Spirit, and he would lead you to all truth. The Holy Spirit comes to evangelize you, to teach you, to form you, to speak the truth about God to your spirit, from the Spirit of God to the spirit of the believer. So from the core of your being, you begin to cry out, Abba, Father. You begin to acknowledge God, not just that he exists, but that he's a Father, that he's good, that he's all-powerful, that you belong to him, and that his Son is the means by which you come to him fully. So the Spirit gives testimony in many ways, in God's word, through signs and wonders, through sacraments, through all kinds of ways, but also speaking directly to our spirit. John says, so there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The water testified, that is the water that Jesus was baptized in, but the water that also, the blood and water that flowed from the side of Jesus, gave testimony while he was on the cross. And the blood will always testify. The blood cries out to heaven on our behalf. It reveals the truth about the seriousness of man's sin and the human condition, that the perfect, holy Son of God had to be sacrificed, and that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins, and it's his blood that's shed for the sake of the salvation of the world, for the forgiveness of sins. And the Spirit testifies to our spirit that Jesus Christ is Lord, the one Savior of the world. And the three are in one accord together, John says. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Now, the testimony of God is this. Now, tune into this. What is God's testimony? What does God the Father want to say to you and to the whole world? Take this in. Open your heart. Now, the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. How did he do that? By raising him from the dead, by exalting him at the right hand, at his right hand in heaven. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within him. So if you believe, John is saying, if you believe in the Son of God, that Jesus is who he says he is, not who the world and other people want to minimize who he is, or deny who he is, or reduce him just to some spiritual guru or something. No, you believe and you testify that you believe that he is the true Son of God. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. That is the testimony of God the Father. Because you're believing in the one who did indeed enter the waters of baptism, who did go into the desert and fought against Satan and his temptation on our behalf, who walked the earth for 3 years and he revealed the kingdom of the Father and he did the works of his Father and he carried that cross for us and he shed his blood and he died as a sacrifice for sin. He offered up his life on our behalf for our salvation, and the Father raised him up and gave testimony and vindicated everything that Jesus ever said or did. Now the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar by not believing the testimony God has given about his Son. It's a very important verse. To not believe in Jesus in the Gospel of John is a great sin. We'll be held accountable. Did we accept God the Father's testimony about his beloved Son? And then John goes on, and this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever possesses the Son has life. Whoever does not possess the Son of God does not have life. God the Father gives life, eternal life, his divine life, to those who believe in his Son, who receive his testimony about his beloved Son. Eternal life is not an automatic. It's a gift from God. It comes to us through repentance and baptism and turning to God and accepting who Jesus is. John says, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. You who believe in the name of the Son of God. Thank you, John, for writing that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. Friends, let's walk in it in these days. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.